good to be with you, Walt.
You know, Coach, your hand-signed basketball that we auctioned this year went for more than it ever has before. It's going up every single year. Brad Brownell's stock way, way up. Brad Brownell's signature on basketballs in Tigers for Tata's auction, huge money raiser now, Coach. Thank you so much.
Well, that's a great cause, so I'm glad we were able to help in some small way.
It is.
Dabo and Kath have done a phenomenal job with that, as we all know.
Yeah, they have, and our station has done a fabulous job as well.
Absolutely.
Hey, Coach, let me ask you about two generic issues before we get going on basketball. Semi-related. Every day it seems like we have more stories, and there were several reports today of expanded gambling investigations involving college basketball players, more schools. It's been suggested now that this number is going to go beyond 100. How do you handle this with your players? It was also recently there was a move afoot to allow players to gamble in professional sports. That's been tabled for the moment. How do you handle this? And this is a whole new world age order in NIL and portal, and now there's another thing to worry about.
Yeah, it's scary, to be honest with you. We talk about it as a staff, like, you know, you have no control. And unfortunately, the world we live in now, it's being promoted so much, and obviously where it's at a time when our players have never had more money.
Right.
And you know, it obviously goes on college campuses, you know, and now you see it everywhere on TV, and you know, it's really hard. We certainly talk to our players about it, and then, you know, as a university, the athletic department usually brings in a speaker or two to try to talk about it. But at the end of the day, there's no great safeguard. I mean, there just isn't. And if people want to get to your people, they're going to try. And you just have to hope that your guys are going to make good decisions. But it's certainly something that, you know, this has happened in our sport, you know, long time ago, but it's been something that's happened. I don't want to say regularly, but enough that it's always been a concern, and it just feels like our sport is such that you can, you know, you can do small things to affect games. And so it's something that is very scary, and really there's no safeguard. Again, as I said, I think we just try to talk to our players and have real communication with them about honest topics as often as we can.
And then recently another issue popped up, and that's G League recruitment with London Johnson going to an ACC school in Louisville, and they're actively involved in the recruitment of another player. Several other major coaches around the country, like Tom Izzo, et cetera, have spoken out fairly vehemently against this. But again, is this just not the way of the world? And if it's going to be the way of the world, do you have to open yourself up to it?
Well, I think number one, the thing that was so strange or disappointing, however you want to talk about it, is nobody was aware of it. And
yeah,
then all of a sudden somebody sees that this is going on, and that's kind of, you know, where we are a little bit in this time of college athletics. It's like everybody's trying to look for an angle. You know, the NCAA is scared about being sued. You know, we have foreign players that, you know, are older and certainly have played some level of professional basketball. Maybe they got paid, maybe they didn't get paid, who knows. And so I think that's the justification for somehow this being allowed. Obviously, I don't love it. I don't love the thought of it. I'm, you know, even some of the international stuff I don't love, because I know some of these guys who are 21 years old that come or have probably played some professional basketball, and you know, we're just taking away from opportunities of high school kids, and I really don't like that at all. We're already doing it with the transfer portal, and now you just keep coming up with different things like this that make it even harder for young people to get scholarships and opportunities. And so I don't love it. Having said all that, you know, as a program, we're gonna be competitive, and so we're going to look at every angle and see when situations, you know, are in our best interest, and then we would actively recruit people if we felt like it was a situation we could make work. You know, the one thing with those kinds of players, a lot of those players are going to, you know, expect big paychecks, and that's becoming even more challenging just for our program in the current situation with rev share.
Yeah, no question. All right, Coach, let's get to your team and this team. First of all, from a leadership standpoint, I think there are obviously some guys that you would expect to be leaders, R.J. Goffrey, Dylan Hunter. Is that one of the issues confronting this team? And of the new guys who are in the system, is it a Nick Davidson who's a more experienced guy? Are there other potential leaders of this team that you expect to sort of raise their hand during the course of the season?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, we always talk about in our program that leadership doesn't discriminate. You don't have to be the leading scorer or the team captain or, you know, even the head coach. I mean, you can be an assistant coach, you can be a manager, you can be a role player, you can be a walk-on and still have an impact in the program. And, you know, I think it's kind of to be determined. Certainly Dylan and RJ are the guys with the biggest voices right now. I think Nick Davidson, because of his experience, is one of those guys that is a very settling figure in terms of just he's played a lot of basketball and you know, seems pretty bright with picking things up in our system. And so I think he'll be helpful. You know, but it's interesting. It's just coaching this team has been, you know, different. It's not different than I thought it would be, but, you know, we have so many guys that are competing for playing time, and really there's not a lot of difference, 1 through 10, 11. And so it's gotten very competitive. I think that one of the big keys to our team is just trying to keep everybody together, understanding that, hey, we all need to play well together and support each other through the course of a long season. And sometimes that sounds easier than it is. Sometimes when you have, you know, five or six guys that are clearly better, everybody can kind of settle into their role,
right,
and it becomes easier for a Chase Hunter or Ian Sheflin or Hunter Tyson or PJ Hall as they're older to lead and kind of be the voice of your team. When guys are going in and out different minutes, all the different changes that we have, I think it makes it a little challenging. Having said that, our guys have been great. I've really enjoyed coaching them so far. I think we're all excited to get started, and they've been a very together group.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that element of role development because, you know, we've talked in the past when coaches want to know, you know, who their leading scorer is going to be and their second leading scorer and third leading scorer, and you can count on that every night. But this is a different bunch. It doesn't have that big name star right at the front like a PJ or any of the names you mentioned. So I would imagine that's a little bit different. So what about for you then, just getting to know this team? Where are you in that process, and how long do you think that's actually going to take? Because I would imagine you're still working through that.
Yeah, I think it's going to take, you know, the better part of November for us to figure out really, you know, because I think guys are going to react well or poorly in different situations, and it may be style of play, it may be level of competition, it may be, you know, how well you get off to a good start or poor start in a game, and how well the guys handle things. How well the guys handle playing 3 or 4 minutes, then get taken out, and somebody else goes in, and you know, how well do they handle that mentally in terms of being able to go back? And because we have some guys that have played at that mid-major level that have been, you know, 30-minute players that have been primary guys, and because our freshmen are as talented as they are, you know, I'm committed to playing some of those guys. And so there's going to be, I've talked about it, it's going to be 9, 10, 11 guys out there for double-figure minutes. And so it's going to be a little different. And it's just going to take a little bit of everybody getting used to it. It's going to take our guys getting used to playing with each other. I think we're starting to see some of that, where guys kind of understanding a little bit better what each guy likes to do, and when they play with certain guys, what they think that guy, you know, does well. And we're kind of learning more about it ourselves as coaches, and how guys are reacting to different situations, pressure defense, pack defense, zone defense, all the different things, and who sees what, who's got great vision and feel, and maybe some other guys that maybe they score better, but they don't have as much feel for some other decision making. And so I think that's going to take us at least a month to kind of get sort through it. But I do think we've made a lot of progress in the last month.
How about individually, because a lot of these guys came from different levels of basketball, and now they've stepped up a level?
Yeah, I think we're trying to figure that part of it out, too, just from the standpoint of, you know, we didn't really play anybody high major in the exhibitions or scrimmages, and so that's, you know, something we'll face certainly with Georgetown. And I think it's also just interesting to see, all right, how do we handle real games? And, you know, I think we'll handle them well. I'm very optimistic, but at the same time, I do think real games are different. And, you know, we have to see our guys play a little bit in some live action, see how they handle it, you know. And I'm hopeful that we're going to get off to a good start, have a good first week. Guys will get comfortable, make a couple baskets, you know, feel good about being a Clemson player and scoring in our system and style. But I think we've got to kind of wait and see on that until we consistently play some teams that are even more talented.
Yeah, it's very, really interesting situation with all these players coming from different levels and different systems. You know, from a standpoint of team defense, what about defensive communication with all these guys? I mean, is it R.J. Godfrey and Dylan Hunter? Are those the voices of defensive communication? I mean, it's always important in basketball, and it would seem like it's even more important when you have such a mix of guys.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And, you know, the young guys are the ones that are probably that don't communicate as often or as well. You know, in basketball, we talk about ELO, early, loud, and often. We want you to communicate. There's a ball screen, and, you know, you need to let the guy know early, you need to know loud, and you need to say it three times, right? Like, whatever your coverage is. And so high school guys don't have the habit of doing that. They're unsure. They're not sure exactly what to say. They don't want to say the wrong thing. So that makes it really challenging for them. So as you mentioned, Dylan, RJ, you know, Nick Davidson, I would say those three are the most vocal guys on the defensive end of the floor. The other guys are figuring things out, I think, for sure. But that part of defensive communication is critical. And, you know, I think our other guys will grow as they get more comfortable and as we get more game experience.
From an individual defensive standpoint, where is Zach Foster and Justin Porter, and where you and what do you need them to be? What's the next step for both of them?
Yeah, I think, you know, Justin, I think, is a little more used to guarding on ball than off ball, which, you know, that's just probably how he was coached. Maybe at middle, they're just a little more man conscious. We're trying to get him a little more, you know, rotation ready, and it's kind of a term we use. He's got to be a little bit more, he's got to anticipate a little bit better. We talk a lot about off ball position, vision, anticipation, and he's got to be a little better in that area. Zach, I think it's a combination. It's a combination of sustaining, I think, is just sustaining and being able to play hard longer. You know, I think he's pretty bright. He's got good length to help. His on-ball defense is getting better, but it's just sustaining the focus and concentration, especially off-ball, you know, which is common for most young players.
One thing I would think, if the plan is to play 10, 11 guys, every player who plays should give complete effort for every minute they're on the court. There should be – nobody has to save themselves if you're playing 10 or 11 guys. That should be an advantage.
Amen. Amen. And if you see somebody that's not, then we need to sub them out. Yell down to me at the game, and I'll get them out. That's been told to the team, that there's nobody, you know, is right now, there's nobody worthy of 30 minutes. And so you need to play as hard as you can, as long as you can. And then when you need to come out, you need to come out. And I think that's the best way for our team to be successful. It seems to have been that way in our two, you know, scrimmages. We're going to run with it here for a good while and see how it goes. So I think there's some energy that guys get from that, and I do think our guys are playing hard. And what we're asking them to do, playing with tempo on offense and pushing the ball and then also picking up full court and pressuring. I mean, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're ready to come out in 4 or 5 minutes. I mean, it's hard to play that way for very long. So that's been good, and we're trying to practice that way. It gets challenging because, you know, you just don't have enough guys in practice to be able to sustain it like you do need to for a game. But we've improved a lot over that the last, you know, 2-3 weeks.
Can you hang with me for a few more minutes? I have to take a quick break.
Yes, sir.
All right, thanks.
Yes, sir.
Coach Brad Brownell talking Clemson basketball. We'll be right back. We we just scared Coach. I think.
I was thinking that same thing, Coach.
He has no idea what's going on. Yeah, it is Halloween, Coach. I don't know if you noticed that. I know you've got a game to prepare for. Coach Brad Brownell, rejoin us. Coach, thank you for hanging in there with us. Just a few more things. I know you love the high-low game and the dribble handoff game and all that stuff. You seem like you have the pieces to be able to do that with Nick Davidson and company. Do you feel good about that element?
I do. I do. I think that's a big strength of our team is Carter Welling and Nick Davidson and R.J. Godfrey, as you mentioned, all older players that, you know, they can all do different things, drive the ball from the high post, make a three, post around the basket. So that's where we start, and I think that, you know, that's been good to us, and that's kind of one of our foundation offenses. But we're also going to spread it out and do some four around one and five out at times with different lineups and different looks as we need to.
I know we move more towards positionless basketball, but I know you viewed Jake Wallin as a three before. Do you still view him as a three, or is it dependent on whether you go small or big?
Yeah, I think mostly three, but I do think there are times when he can play the four for sure, and mostly when we're playing against maybe even some of the, you know, mid-major teams that are a little smaller and faster, and they've got a four-man that you know, plays out on the perimeter, he can be a guy that can help match up along with Chase Thompson.
You know, he seems to really know how to play. He's got cuts. He's active. I mean, do you see him as a Hunter Tyson type? Is he a guy you expect to be able to rebound out of his area?
Yeah, I hope so. I don't think he rebounds as well as Hunter and doesn't shoot it as well as Hunter. Hunter was an elite player, obviously, but he's certainly capable of all that. And he, you know, he can make a couple threes. As you talked about, I think he has size to defend, which I think is going to be helpful for us against a lot of different teams. And then, you know, we're hopeful that he'll get in there and get his nose in there and rebound the ball some. So he's a pretty versatile guy. We're obviously excited that we have him.
I know this is going to be a little bit of defensive rebound by committee, and I know you want to run, and I know you know you can't run unless you get a clean defensive rebound. Who's the best defensive rebounder on this team in your mind?
Yeah, I think that's to be determined. You know, I think certainly all the big guys have opportunities and have it showed at various times that they all can do a good job in that area. I'm hopeful that we can get some of our guards and wings to rebound the ball as well, because it just starts your break a little bit faster. And so I think that's one thing we've got to do a good job on. We've got to really emphasize guard rebounding and then I think our big guys will be pretty competitive in that area.
It also looks like some of these bigs can run the court, which I think is a big advantage if you want to go up and down some.
Yeah, we're trying to force that. RJ, that's probably one of the best things he does is he puts pressure on the rim. Trent Steinhauer is another guy who's a freshman. He probably won't play quite as much, but that's one of his great strengths, his ability to run for a big guy. Nick and Carter, I think, are improving in that area. As we're forcing them to do a little more of that. So, and obviously playing a bunch of guys and running guys in and out, I think we're optimistic that, you know, we can force our bigs to try to do that and put pressure on the rim, which I think is important in today's game.
I think this is the most exciting team. I don't know why. It's this mix of players from all over. I can't wait to see how you blend it. I'm imagining it's going to take some time, as you mentioned earlier, but I think it's really exciting. Let me just talk for a second about, you know, you were talking about the influx of foreign players before and guys who have played in foreign countries. You know, I'm looking at the team you're opening with, Coach, New Hampshire, and I see Greece, Egypt, Italy, Poland. I have no idea how you scouted these guys.
Well, that's challenging here early on is, you know, you don't have much film on people and everybody's got new rosters. And so you don't really know exactly what you're playing against all the time. It makes it harder. And, you're going in a little bit, you know, you're a little uncomfortable. I'm not going to lie to you, Walt. It's not like you're in December or January where you've got eight tapes of everybody and you've seen them against a bunch of different types of things. So, you know, but we're going to have to be sharp as a staff. I do think that's the one thing that we've got to make sure that, you know, it's not going to be as easy for us to make some of the adjustments that we've made throughout the course of the last couple of years just with the experience we've had. And so you know, we got to really be on point and figure out maybe within our team who are the guys that, you know, think a little quicker and can react and make some decisions. And when you do make changes, you know, can they take that to the game? And that's something you don't really do as much until you get to the games. And so we've done a little bit of it, but anxious to see how guys handle all that.
And they've got a 6'10 guy from Greece, Coach, whose name sounds way too similar to Giannis of the Bucks.
That's right. That's right.
So
well, I don't think he's that.
No, I don't think he is either. I don't think he is either. But I just noticed the name sounds remarkably similar, both the first and last name, and in 6'10 from Greece. In any case, Coach, I can't wait to see it all get going. Congratulations on putting this team together. An amazing job by you and your staff, and really exciting time for Clemson basketball. I can't wait to see it get going. So we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Walt. Look forward to having everybody in Little John Monday and Friday, 7 o'clock. Two big ones to start the year.
Let's go. Let's go. Thank you, Coach.